Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
John Heyman.
Feels like an Arby's night.
MLB Network Insider. WFAN New York. Larry David Enthusiast. At John Heyman on Twitter.
Pretty good.
John Heyman.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the score. Always a delight to talk to John Heyman. He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Hey, John, how are you?
Morning, John.
I'm good. How are you guys doing? Hey, Mully. Hey, Haw. How are you guys?
We are delighted to speak to you because you can help us understand what was the idea behind the Major League Baseball proposal from the owners. It was almost like a divide and conquer thing, right? It was it was really curious.
That's one of the complaints from the union side of it, that the MLB gave a better deal to the rank and file, the players making $1 million and less, and not as good a deal to the really rich players. And yeah, that's the union. One of the union's thoughts is that maybe MLB's trying to divide the union. But the deal does make sense to me in many ways.
So where does it go from here, John? What do you think the players will do as far as a counter proposal, and how much animosity has been created now because we went a few days and we thought that no news was good news, and maybe that the lack of rancor was a good sign, and then we had yesterday. So where does this go now?
Well, I take yesterday as good news because a proposal was made. The union is going to look it over, and presumably the union will make a counterproposal. Some people from the union saying that this is barely worth a counterproposal, but I'm going to take barely worth, meaning that they're going to make a counterproposal and get to work, because time is limited. I will say that. I understand that the hand-wringing and the belly aching and all that, and it certainly would be a big hit, but it's just the first proposal. The numbers are rather rough for the star players. To think that a guy, let's say Gerrit Cole, who makes $36 million or was expected to if we had a full season, the prorated would have paid him a little over $18 million, and now with the 44% that he'll get of the prorated, he would make $7.8 million. So basically 20% or 20-something percent of his salary is what he would make. So certainly the star players, while I didn't talk to Gerrit Cole personally, the star players aren't going to be thrilled with it. The union leadership is not going to be thrilled with it. And they're going to have to work off of this, though. But it does make sense to give the bigger cuts to the better players. It's better to keep the minimum wage players, the younger players, closer to their salary. They make more towards a normal salary. They're well paid. The minimum guy was going to make at the prorated something like $283 million, $285 million. Now it's somewhere around $260-something million, I believe. It's 91.9%. So there isn't enough to cut there. If you're making $280 million, there's not a lot to cut there. And so this was the way for MLB to try to save money. That said, the union, I think, will certainly come back with numbers that are vastly different. Though the setup, the format, I think makes sense.
I got to tell you, if I'm the union, you just counter, say, okay, this is fine, but the stars get their money in a deferred payment later on, and you're done.
Yeah, that's what the union wanted to do, but that doesn't do much for MLB to still get the whole salary. And I'm I do work at MLB, but I am normally sympathetic to employees, as I've always been an employee. But I do see that the owners will be losing money this year, no matter how you slice it. I get that they've made a lot of money in other years. This is a pandemic, a rare occurrence, and some people say they just need to take a hit. But I do think that's something the players would like to do, is just defer it. But I think the teams are already going to be taking on a lot of debt. To add more debt, I don't think they want to do that. And the main thing is that that's really not giving them a savings. So I do think the union's going to have to come back with something less than the prorated, certainly more than this, but less than the prorated. And there'll be a compromise, something right in the middle, perhaps.
John, deadlines spur action. And in typical times, that's the truth. These aren't typical times. So I don't know what the deadline really is. Is there an artificial deadline that would be, the time by which they want to have an agreement? And what role will, say, if any, the NHL coming to, making an announcement about a returning to play? By the end of the week, the NBA may be at the same podium making a similar type of an announcement from Adam Silver. Do those things have any effect on this artificial deadline?
Yeah, I don't think they'll have any effect on MLB. MLB knows it needs to make a deal and needs to not let the economics blow up the season. If the health data gets worse, we hope not, but if the health data gets worse and they can't play due to the risk factor, that's one thing. But they know now, going into this whole thing, that they cannot let the economics blow it up. That said, they're on a deadline. It was a little bit easier for NHL or NBA. Their players have made their money this year. The MLB was in a different spot. The season hadn't begun, so their players hadn't made any money. So it's a little more difficult for MLB. I do think MLB will still be able to make a deal. Rob Manfred, when he was the lead negotiator, and since he's been the commissioner, they've not had work stoppages since 1994, which we all remember. So 25 years of no work stoppage is a pretty good record if you go back to the baseball history. In terms of the deadline, yeah, it's pretty tight. I mean, they're calling June 1st a soft deadline and saying June 10th is the date they want to get to spring training. I think June 10th is right. I think that's the hard deadline, or maybe a couple days before that. But June 1st is a very soft deadline. So I don't think we should all panic if June 1st comes and goes, which I expect it to. But I think once you get close to June 10th and there's no deal, that's when we start to panic.
John, I've been doing some yard work, starting projects I have no intention of ever finishing. And as a result, I've been kind of daydreaming about different roster issues and questions that come up. And I know this, we got to get this resolved first, but I also feel that I need a little explanation. Just from a baseball standpoint, if you have guys that are coming back from Tommy John surgery, or if you have players that have been injured and are available this year, but you thought you'd play them at the minor league level and now there's going to be no minor league level, do you use those players to fill out your 50-man roster, your backup 20 to the 30 you're going to take? How do you make sure that you get the mileage on the arms needed in order to be able to use them in the future? How do you handle
that? Yeah, right. There's tough questions for everybody here in this situation. The rosters are going to be expanded, which will alleviate some of the issues that the pitchers might encounter, because they're not going to be ready to throw 6-7 innings like they would normally at a spring training. So the rosters are expanded. You'll have 30 on the roster. You'll have a big taxi squad. I agree. Well, they haven't announced no minor leagues. I mean, some teams are already releasing their minor leaguers, basically. So I think they all basically understand that there's very likely going to be no minor leagues. That said, there's going to be a taxi squad, and that taxi squad will work out, and they can throw simulated games. It's not real games, but they'll just have to keep an eye on it and do the best they can. I mean, this isn't a good deal for anybody. And you're right about the injured players coming back. It's a little bit more complicated for them as well.
The A's became the first team yesterday to stop paying those minor leaguers, John, as we alluded to. And, the future of minor league baseball this summer is bleak. And do you think other teams will follow suit? And what does that do to the development of some of these prospects? It sort of – obviously interrupts a lot of the progress. It halts some of the development, and you wonder how permanent that will be.
Yes. Now, the guys that they're not paying or letting go, they're now free agents, presumably. So these are players they probably didn't look at as prospects. As we said, there's 30 on the roster. There's a taxi squad. I'm not sure yet if that's 20 or 30. So you can go 50 or 60 deep on your roster. Now, is it possible there are talented players beyond your 50 or 60? I guess it's possible. But, you know, they're taking the risk that very few of those players who are being basically released are not going to turn out. It is complicated, though, because let's say you've got a star prospect. Let's say, I should probably think of Chicago one, but let's say I'm in Miami. The Marlins have J.J. Blade. They gave him $5 million last year as a top five or so pick in the draft. He's not going to have minor leagues this year. So what do they do with him? He's not ready to play in the major leagues. He's being 30. He's going to have to be on the taxi squad. They're not going to release him or let him do nothing. So he's going to be playing with some guys who are AAA type players. It's going to be all over the map. It's not going to be a minor league season. He's not going to have games. That's true, too, of the Cubs and the White Sox top picks. It's bad for everybody what's gone on, but to have minor league season, I think, would be very, very difficult, because minor league season depends on fans in attendance. There isn't TV for the most part, and certainly not TV money, and to take any risk at all and to have that expense of making sure the health protocols are all set, just would be too much, too involved, too difficult, too expensive. So that's the reason we're not going to see minor league baseball this year.
And so as a result of that, John, if you're a general manager, would you take those top prospects? Say you're the Dodgers. Would you load your 20-man or 30-man taxi squad with all of your young stars that you want to keep an eye on and you want them to keep moving forward? Or would you be worried about having rank-and-file guys? And I guess it's a combination. But, presumably somebody's going to get sick at some point or someone's going to get hurt, and you got to move someone that can help in the immediate future. How do you balance that if you're a general manager?
Yeah, let's say there are 30 taxi guys. Again, I'm not sure if it's settled at 20 or 30 yet. Nothing's really settled yet, but it's 20 or 30. Let's say it's 20. You take your 10 best prospects, just – hypothetically, 10 best prospects plus 10 AAA players who are ready to go and help your team if there's an injury. So you'll have 20 players who you're interested in, care about, and may be valuable to you this year and going forward, and utilize them with your taxi squad in your spring site. Yes, like I said, it's not good for anybody, and I get where everybody's coming from. It's particularly tough right now today on the star players who are making, as I said, $25 million and up. They're taking a monster hit, whether they're going to be making 30% of their salary or 25%, or in the case of Cole and Trout, 20% of their salary. That's tough. But as I said, it's better than we think. I understand that there's publicity that the unions live it and all this, but let's keep in mind, 65%, nearly two-thirds of the players make $1 million or less. Even this offer, which will not be accepted and the MLB will negotiate off, but even in this offer, those players will make 85% or more of the prorated salary. So the guys were making, were expected to make $1 million. If they were going to get the full prorated, they would have gotten a little over $500,000. Now they'll get $434,000. So they're not going to object that much. And if they took just a vote of it, there'll be a lot of players. I know the publicity today is the union's livid and all this, and the players are livid. Well, those are the star players, and that's the union leadership, and that will certainly cause them not to accept this. Two-thirds of the players may not hate this deal that much. Like I said, it's not going to be accepted. They will work off of this. MLB is willing to do more, I'm sure, but I do consider this a start, and I think we don't need to pay too much attention to the hand-wringing and the belly aching that's going to go on throughout the week from both sides.
That's the key point, John. You're right. I mean, when you look at 65% of Major League Baseball players making $1 million or less, it's the same dynamic that was in place with the NFL when they just recently passed a CBA with their rank and file as the stars of the sport were spoke loudly against maybe the ideas and some of the principles involved in the offer. It still passed, and there's still a lot of hand-wringing about that, but it did as well, and I just wonder if the silent majority is the people that we won't hear from today. Do they feel differently about this deal than a lot of the guys whose names we recognize?
Yeah, they absolutely do feel differently, and I've been in touch with a couple of those type players, and they don't think it's so bad, and they're saying, let's get ready to go and play. However, I do think in this case, the MLB union leadership is pretty strong. The players on the negotiating committee are Scherzer, Andrew Miller, star players making not just seven figures, but eight figures. So I do think this will not be accepted, and they will negotiate off of this. But in a way, it was smart for MLB. It's actually, in a way, proper not to cut the guys who are making more of a normal type salary. If you're already down to $280,000, obviously that's a very good salary still, but these players' careers are limited in time. So, you know, it's not, when you consider that most players don't play more than 5 to 7 years, it's not outrageous. They didn't cut them so much, you know, basically just 8% on the minimum salary. So, in a way, that's a kind way to do it, because obviously Gerrit Cole and Trout and Harper and those guys, they can afford the cut. But also, if you're going to cut the guys who are already down to $280,000, what are you going to cut them? It's not going to save them. They'll be very much money. The only way they were going to save money is to cut Mike Trout and Max Scherzer and the guys making $30 million plus. So the offer made a lot of sense in a lot of ways that people aren't really talking about today. They're too focused on the fact that team leadership is upset, the star players are upset. To me, it's a starting point, and to me, looking at the history of MLB, they will get something done economically. If we don't play, I don't believe it's going to be because of the economics. It's going to be because the health data went the wrong direction.
Great stuff, John. Thanks so much, and stay safe.
Thanks, John.
All right, great talking to you guys, as always. You too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.